Hello and welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we have part two of our interview with Blue Toon legend Graham Sharp. Here you'll hear Sharpie discuss working under Steve Patterson and Neil Cooper and how Jim McAnally reinvigorated his career. First, I asked him about the departure of Ian Stewart and what that meant to him.
At the time, I think I remember thinking it was incredibly harsh. It's probably a victim of his own success. To an extent, I think maybe everyone got a bit of a taster of what could be. You know, we could have been in the first division. You know, and you, when you are that close, you start to then, you know, people start to dream and imagine Peterhead being in the first division. And so I don't know. I thought it was harsh at the time. Because if you'd asked probably any Peterhead fan at the start of my first season, that whatever it was, the 2005-2006 season, you know, when the club had just newly been promoted, where do you want to finish? Where do you think we should finish? I think people would have said, first and foremost, let's stay up. Let's stay in the second division. Let's, you know, somewhere in the mid-table would be good, given the, you know, the quality of the other teams and the fact there was maybe five full-time teams in the second division. So we did achieve quite a lot. And then the following season, we started slowly, and a bit like we'd done the year before. You know, I seem to remember us taking until about November until we really picked up. And so I don't know exactly which month Ian Stewart was let go. Can you remember?
I think it was the October.
It was the October time. So even earlier, you know, so I still think we could have still turned it round, found some form. You know, it was still the same team from the season before. And, you know, maybe we just lost a little bit of confidence and just needed sometimes. I spoke about the season before. I think it was the cup game away to East Fife that really changed our season a little bit, you know, and it could have been something like that again that could have turned around the season. So I do remember being quite disappointed. You know, one of the things I remember all the guys at that time saying was how good Ian Stewart's training was. Guys who'd been full-time, they said this is some of the best training they've ever had. They really enjoyed it. I loved going to it. Fantastic training, a lot of variety, very well organised. So I was really enjoying the football overall at that time, playing. Okay, the results maybe weren't going quite our way, but the training was good. And so, yeah, it was a bit of a shock, really.
Do you feel that you deserved a bit longer, given the success or how close they came the season before, that you could almost forgive him for a slow start, but he had that credibility to allow him to continue a bit longer?
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, I mean, I was just a young player at the time, and you know, obviously Roger and other directors had other ideas and maybe other ambitions for the club. But at the time, as I said, I think it was very harsh. And looking back now, I still think that's very harsh. I really think that season could have been turned around. And I look back on other times in my career, and there are times when you think, I can't see light at the end of the tunnel with this, you know, that you can just get in such a bad rut. And you're wondering how you're going to get out of it. But that second season, I didn't really feel like that at that point. I still felt there was the potential for us to go on and do something. So, and who knows now. But, yeah, I definitely think it was harsh.
What was your thoughts on Steve Patterson's appointment?
I think it was a bit of a surprise for everyone. Steve Patterson and Neil Cooper, two big names, you know, big names in Scottish football, certainly. So I think it was a bit of a shock. I knew them both by name, but I didn't really know too much else about them, at that time. I think at the time I probably just thought, well, you know, Ian Stewart's gone. He was the one that signed me, but, I either get my head down and prove myself again to Steve Patterson or choose to leave, or I choose to sulk, you know. So I just decided, well, I'll just get on with it. I'll show Pelly that I'm a good player, that, and show him what I did the season before with Ian Stewart. And I think as a player, even when these changes happen, you're not, even if you didn't agree with it or you're not too happy with it, you still want to be successful as a footballer and as a team. So you know, whenever a new manager comes in, you'll try your best for them to achieve success together, you know.
It was a bit of a kind of lackluster season, that one, but for you, again, you're still scoring goals. I think you got five that one. So how did you kind of keep yourself going, keep yourself motivated when things weren't going as well?
I remember it being, it was probably quite a difficult season, the rest of that season, because I think there was just a steady trickle of people leaving, you know, and there was a lot of uncertainty, and there was then the sort of rumours of players coming in, and then players maybe being slightly unhappy because they maybe used to start every game and suddenly they weren't. I think it must have been sometime halfway through that season. I remember a game away to Stranraer, and I think I was on the bench. It was me, Martin Wood, Keith Gibson, others like that, and we were all suddenly on the bench, and we were all very used to starting games, with Ian Stewart and Paul Mathers, and so that can be quite difficult, because suddenly you start to think, well, oh, hold on, why am I suddenly on the bench? You know, am I doing something wrong? Does the manager not really rate me as a player, or, you know, does he have other ideas? So it can be quite difficult. So I do remember feeling that way for a certain period of time. I still just had that, I'd say that just motivation and drive within me, that I was still young and I still thought I could achieve things with Peterhead, or see where I could go in with my footballing career. I remember thinking, well, Steve Patterson and Neil Cooper are two incredibly well thought of people within within Scottish football. So if I can do well for them, then who knows? These guys have contacts, and so I think I still had a certain amount of individual motivation there as well. You know, I didn't need it all coming from the manager. That's probably why. To the supporters as well. I never wanted to ever go out on a Saturday and not prove myself. You know, I never wanted to embarrass myself. I never wanted to let anyone down. So at that age, I was just, you're still able to motivate yourself quite easily, I think.
He didn't get long, though, Steve, just over a year. Again, so you're at a point where you're under the second manager, who's now been sacked. Is your thoughts any different this time round? Did you see the writing on the wall this time round?
Yeah, I think so. There was probably just something wasn't quite fitting into place. I would say a number of things, and I haven't heard this direct, but someone has said to me, I think Steve Patterson himself has in the end said he wasn't quite in the right frame of mind when he took the job. And that kind of made sense when I was told that. You know, I hope I'm not incorrect in saying that, but I'm sure that was quoted somewhere. And yeah, it was certainly, you know, there was, I think there was more than one occasion. I remember Neil Cooper saying to me at like 2:30, "Sharpie, where's Pelly?" I don't know, why are you asking me? He says, "I haven't heard from him, you know, or he's not here yet, you know." And so there was still a, you know, I think there was still something not quite right. And I think sometimes that can then have a, you know, a negative impact, just on the atmosphere in general. You know, that if the manager isn't feeling too confident and whatnot, then I think that can trickle through to the players. And there was lots of change as well. You know, there was a lot of the guys who'd been signed by Ian Stewart and Paul Mathers. You know, they steadily moved on. And so that's quite a difficult thing to manage as well. You know, if you're transforming a squad that used to work for a different manager and you're trying to dismantle it and build up a new team, I think that really takes a lot of hard work and dedication. And I don't think it's something easy to do at all as a football manager. And so, yeah, I think there was just something missing in that. I think it was about a year with Pelly.
About a year, yeah.
You know, and a very nice guy. Got on with him, and I think in the end he did rate me enough, certainly as a player, and certainly some good memories still. You know, some good memories and happy times. But yeah, I think it was maybe evident to everyone that, you know, it maybe wasn't quite going as it should have been.
He's now obviously been quite open with his problems he had in his past, and so now that you know of his issues and things that he had, and does it kind of make a lot of things a bit more obvious as to why things were maybe going wrong?
Yeah, I think so. So I think I'd maybe heard something like that, and I remember at least once, maybe if not twice, arriving very late at Balmore. And he used to take some of the northern boys in his car as well. I remember some of them having to get changed very quickly before the game. You know, so things like that, you know. But there was older guys in the, you know, Bobby Mann was in at that time, and he just said, that's Pelly. You know, I think he'd maybe always been a bit like that anyway. So, you know, it's just, that's some people, you know. And that's the thing, he was quite the opposite to Ian Stewart in many ways. Ian Stewart was very organised and, you know, methodical with training and had folders of lots of things, I seem to remember. And he had I think he had a training plan where he would know what we were doing on a Thursday in 3 weeks' time, you know, type thing. And I think Pelly's a different person, you know, a different character. And so that was maybe difficult for some people to adapt to when you know, you're going from two very different personalities. Pelly he was a nice guy overall, there were some happy memories, some good times, and some funny stories shared in the dressing room and things. But I think looking back on it, it wasn't maybe the right time for him, and certainly it wasn't right for Peterhead at that time either.
So Neil Cooper took over. He was obviously his assistant. So was it an easy transition to go from Steve to Neil?
Yeah, well, I think it's always slightly easier because you know him already. You know, I had no idea. I'd never worked with Steve Patterson before he came in, and I didn't know anything about him really, you know, personally. Whereas, you know, Coops had been there for a year already, so him taking over isn't as dramatic a change. But you know, sometimes an assistant manager can be very different as a manager, and it doesn't always work out. I think everyone in the room had in the dressing room, had a huge amount of respect for him, and he was just the sort of guy you wanted to play for. You know, he was just such a likable guy, such a character. You know, certainly for me, I just remember wanting to go out and run my socks off for him every single week. You know, it was almost as simple as that, you know.
And it was quite a successful debut for him, the 9-2 win. Do you remember much of that one?
Was that against Berwick?
Yes.
Berwick? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think I scored.
Yes.
Yeah, so I remember that part. I think it was wind assisted in the second half, maybe. But I didn't realise that was his first game, actually. I don't know. You know, it's football strange. You know, it's probably before then we'd gone on a run of not winning, and then to suddenly produce a result like that. You know, it can actually almost look disrespectful to Steve Patterson, almost in a way. You know. But I don't know. I can't really remember why it suddenly changed so much. Coops is just—he was just a really likable guy, larger than life figure. And so I know he gave me a huge amount of confidence that I'd maybe been lacking a little bit under Steve Patterson. I don't know. I certainly remember not being in the best form of my life with Steve Patterson as manager, but I don't think I was in my worst either. But I do remember certainly the first year or so with Coops just, you know, being very high on confidence. So maybe that's what he just gave to some other players, and that was, you know, that was what suddenly made the difference in that game and the games following.
There was a big difference the following season. In his first full season, you got to the playoffs again. But this time you got beat 4-1 by Airdrie. So can you put your finger on why there was such a big change in the attitude and the results?
I think for me, as I was saying, I just was given a huge amount of confidence every single week, every single team talk, before every single game. He just filled me with confidence. And so that certainly did me the world of good. Maybe it was the same for some of the other players. We had quite a nice mix of youth, and experience. It was Bobby Mann who actually Pelly had signed. And Bobby was a great player for Peterhead, you know. I remember at that period, whenever Bobby was out injured, we really struggled as a team. Mm-hmm. If he had a knock or a suspension or something, you know, a lot of confidence went out of the team. He was such a critical player for us. So we had quite a nice mix of Bobby and Callum McDonald at the back, you know, two very reliable centre-halves. I think that's when Davey Donald came in at right back, Stuart Smith at left back, two younger guys that had been at Aberdeen, and you then had me, who's a few seasons in, Bav up front still, and then I think that would have maybe been the time that it would have been around the time Craig Moore and Daniel Gunn would have come in as well. For that second season, you know, so some good young, exciting, fast players. We were a very fast team. So I think probably a mix of that. I still think a big difference. We made the playoffs that season, but I still don't think we were quite where we had been in my first season in Peterhead. You know, it was, I think it was probably just a good achievement to make the playoffs. I think going up would have been a bonus, but I do remember thinking that, you know, we were good, but we probably weren't that good, you know.
Do you think you maybe peaked too soon for that team?
I don't know. Maybe because I'm trying to remember now. So that was the second season, and then it was the next year that Coops ended up leaving. So I don't know if it was, you know, a bit of a hangover, like a playoff hangover again. I can't really remember or think exactly why it went wrong. You know, it's almost like my first season at Peterhead. We still had the same players, by and large. We still had the same manager. And sometimes it's quite difficult to put your finger on why things have suddenly gone bad, but it's also incredibly difficult to then turn it around. And I know for me in that, so my first two seasons with Neil Cooper as manager, I think I had probably two of my better or best seasons with Peterhead. I remember being full of confidence playing left wing every week. But that third season, I was travelling quite a lot with work that season, and I remember losing fitness and confidence. And I remember, you know, more and more feeling like I was letting Neil Cooper down. And you know, certainly towards the very end, you know, I think he'd lost a little bit of his spark as well. I don't know exactly why, you know, but that kind of happy-go-lucky Neil Cooper that everyone, you know, knew and loved, and who'd given me the, you know, huge amount of confidence for the previous two seasons, was, it suddenly wasn't like that. You know, there was just a different atmosphere. Yeah, possibly then, maybe because we had a young team, that counted against us. You know, we were young, and that was maybe an attribute in the previous two seasons. We were young, we were new, we were different, we were fast. And then maybe suddenly in that third season, we were young and a bit vulnerable. I don't know. But it was, you know, it was incredibly sad. I remember feeling like I was letting Neil Cooper down that season. And it was incredibly frustrating because I was still wanting to try my hardest, but I'd lost all fitness, all confidence, and it just wasn't working for me at all on that season.
Do you think that was one of your more challenging seasons for you personally?
Definitely. You know, when I was traveling quite regularly with work to places all over the world. And when I was away, I was trying to always find a treadmill or a gym or go for a run. But it's not the same, you know, as training twice a week with your teammates. And you can get away with it every now and again. But when it's, you know, maybe every month or every second month, it can catch up with you. And especially if you're coming back to a team that's low on confidence and not playing well either. You know, and so... I think probably in the two seasons before that, I was probably, you know, probably one of the main contributors, one of the main threats in the team. You know, and then suddenly the threat that I was previously posing opposition teams was either not there or was certainly not, you know, not at the same level it had been. So, you know, that was difficult to take, frustrating, really.
Did you take it sucking personally? Do you think you maybe it was different to maybe Ian Stewart's sucking?
I would say a little bit. Yeah. There's obviously 11 players in the team, and there's the squad, and there's everything else that goes along with it. You know, I'm sure there were many failings in many aspects that season. But yeah, for me, I definitely felt like I'd gone from having an incredibly positive relationship with Neil Cooper in the two seasons before to then, you know, just a slightly more difficult one because he was probably feeling let down by me and I was probably feeling like I was letting him down a little bit. And I remember seeing him, I don't know if it would have been a year or so later in Aberdeen, bumping into him and, you know, I think we spoke about it a little bit, you know, and he said, what happened to you? And you know, so I explained almost what I'm explaining to you. And he said, oh, I needed you, you know, I needed you. And so there was that kind of feeling that I'd let him down a little bit in that final season. But, you know, by no means was I the only one You know, it's you win as a team and you lose as a team as well. So, it's disappointing. It wasn't a big shock because things were, had not been going well for most of that season. So, it wasn't a huge shock, but it's still not pleasant when it happens. You know,
John Sherrin took over, but couldn't stop the inevitable relegation. So where were you kind of at in your head kind of at the time, you were saying about, traveling for work and things like that. Were you still in it as such?
Yeah, so I kind of saw it as, a fresh start. So I'd never not been in it. I was determined to get my fitness back first and foremost, and then, with that would come the confidence eventually. And so John, I'd said John was the first team manager at Montrose when I first started out there. And I was obviously one of the young guys when he was there. And now, at this stage, I was one of the more experienced players in the team. So I remember him calling round, Bav, me, and others, just asking where we thought things had gone wrong and what did we need to improve? How could we, try and stay up? What could we do immediately? All this sort of stuff. So, so even at that point, the fact he called me, I thought, well, right, okay, I'm one of the more experienced senior players here now. So, it's up to me to try and pull the team out of this as well, and I think every player wants to avoid ever being in a relegation team, a team that's getting relegated. So I was determined to avoid that with Peterhead. I was, I wanted to be a Division 2 player still, determined not to be relegated. But despite the change, the and manager, the I would say the overall atmosphere and poor form just continued. There wasn't the, sometimes you change manager and you get, like we said with Neil Cooper, and change manager and we win 9-2 the next game. Sometimes you get that and sometimes you don't. And so we just didn't get it that season, and the poor form continued, and unfortunately we were relegated.
You spent a lot of money in the summer time, so were you confident of getting up again straight away?
I think so. There was a lot of money spent. I do remember that with John, even at, when I was at Montrose. John will bring in experienced players who've been around the block a few times, and so I think he did something similar that summer. There was a huge, that pre-season, there was a huge amount of hype. I think we were by a mile the favourites with the bookkeepers, and people almost thought that was us up before we'd even kicked a ball that season. And I think that was probably the worst thing possible for us. Every team we played at the start of the season, we were the scalp. Let's beat Peterhead. They think they've won the league already. That was a bit of a tough time, and I think looking back, we had quite a big squad. We brought in quite a lot of players that summer, and we had a big squad. It's very difficult to keep a big squad of players happy when you've got a lot of people who think they should be starting every week. And so I think as soon as things started to take a turn for the worst, and suddenly we were knocked off our perch very early at the start of the season, I just think things started to go downhill quite quickly. So that wasn't a very enjoyable part of my Peterhead career.
Was that the worst part of your career, even just at Peterhead, but in general?
Yeah, probably the lowest and probably the closest I've been to calling it a day was that season, the beginning of that season. I still had the frustrations. I'd had a good pre-season, still hadn't quite got the fitness back that I used to have. I was struggling to figure out why. You know, I was still in pre-season one of the guys at the front of all the running. Although Jamie Redmond was probably 2 meters in front of me, but I accepted that because he was a bit younger than me as well. You know, so you know, I knew I'd had a reasonable pre-season. In pre-season, I was quite enthusiastic about the season ahead, but that just disappeared very quickly that season. And I think I remember being in and out of the team a little bit. There was quite a lot of chopping and changing. I think I was playing different positions. When you are trying to find your top form, you need to be as fit as you can be, and you want to be playing every week. And yeah, maybe I didn't deserve to play every week at that point. But you end up in a bit of a vicious cycle where you're not playing every week, so you're not as fit as you want to be, which means you're not getting your confidence back. And that's kind of what I felt. And so I was really close to just, you know, that was the least I'd enjoyed being at Peterhead. So that was probably the only time I started to ever have those kind of thoughts come into my head, you know, well, maybe I should call this a day.
So how key was the appointment of Jim McAnally at that time then?
He came in, about November time or something that season, maybe. It wasn't too far into it, and I remember just being relieved that there was a change. And I thought, okay, let's see what Jim's going to do and what it's going to be like. There was a prime example. I don't think there was an instant turnaround in the results.
No, he struggled in the league quite a bit. I think it was about 5 or 6 games before he got his first win.
I remember being a while because, you know, you do, like I say, sometimes expect change of manager, sudden change of form, blah, blah, blah. And it didn't come. And I think it was because actually I think everyone's confidence was gone by that point. I do remember there being quite a lot of unhappy people in the squad. You know, there was, I think, a lot of chopping and changing and players who used to start not starting and, you know, all that kind of thing. So it was quite a low point. And I think it probably just took a bit of time to try and, you know, sort that out and get everyone's confidence back up. But I do remember a real sort of determination in Jim. Even in training to start with, he was drilling things into us that were incredibly boring to do over and over again sometimes on a Thursday night in training. But he would keep doing it, and we'll keep doing it until you get it right. And I think that's what it was. It was perseverance, you know. And so eventually maybe the fitness came back. I don't know. But certainly something eventually changed. And Jim wasn't scared of making changes, you know, and sending players out and bringing players in. And he really had he stuck by his beliefs. And he had a determination and a real confidence in his decisions, which I think you buy into, you know, as a player a little bit. And, you know, he was an experienced player and manager as well. Jim coming in was in the end, a huge change for me. Not immediately that season. I think I still had a bit of a mixed season, and it's probably still my worst season. Or certainly close to those two seasons. You know, the season that Neil Cooper was sacked, and then the following season, they were two poorer seasons for me at Peterhead. And I certainly, at that stage, didn't think I'd gone from being a regular first team player, and I knew I had my place, and I'd sort of earned my place in the starting lineup. And those two seasons were a real kind of real challenge.
Was it Jimmett to change your position?
Yes. So Jim, I think I continued to play a couple of different positions that season. I think I actually played left back. Now I'm trying to think, was that the season we played Celtic
in the Cup,
Scottish Cup? Yeah, so that was I tell you about the example when I played Celtic in the Youth Cup for Montrose and I was suddenly in a new position. And that was another time. I'm not sure I'd played left back that much before that game. But I remember I'd been out injured for a while and I really didn't think I was going to start that game. I remember in the team talk, Jim saying, reading out the team sheet, and I was playing left back. And, you think, oh, great, Celtic, slightly new position, you know, Premier League opposition, all that kind of thing. And I remember him actually trying to give me a load of confidence in the dressing room. He said, we've got a fast guy playing right back. I can't remember his name. But Jim said, oh, he's no problem for you. You know, you're faster than he is. So I remember going out feeling, you know, even hadn't played, I'd been injured for a while, but going out with a bit of confidence. You know, the manager's given me some confidence. And Bav was playing left mid, left wing that day. And he says, between you and Bav, you'll be able to handle him, no problem. And I remember one of the boys pointing out this right back in the warm up, and he must have been about 6'3". So I remember running with him in the first few minutes, and I think I was as fast as him, but he was so much bigger and stronger than me that he just leaned on me and it took all the pace out of me. So that was an incredibly tough 45 minutes, and actually Jim took me off at half time. I actually think he maybe apologised. But he was maybe being too polite. But, you know, so that season, it's still, you know, for me, there wasn't a sudden miracle change in my form or fortunes with Peterhead. But I think there was just certainly a noticeable difference in some aspects. In the close season, I remember him calling me and saying, you know, I've had my doubts. You know, I can see you're trying, but you know, I've still not, still wasn't 100% certain about signing you again. But what would you think about becoming a right back? And so at that point, I was enjoying football again. I maybe wasn't playing my best, but I was enjoying being in the squad, and I was enjoying Jim being manager, and there was just much more positivity back with the club. So that was something I wanted to still be a part of. I wanted to prove to everyone I could still play. I could still reach the levels I'd been at in my first few seasons at Peterhead. I wanted to make up for the disappointment of the relegation. I didn't want to leave Peterhead in the lowest division when I'd joined them in the league above. So I was still wanting to be a part of it. So I didn't even hesitate. I said, yeah, no problem. You know, he said, oh, we'll help you out along the way. And I think Jim used to play right back in his career, or certainly at one point in his career. I think he maybe did. So that was a great help as well. I think there was a few eyebrows raised when, you know, you've gone from being a out and out left winger to a, you know, pulling on the number two shirt every week and running out and starting in the right back position, and certainly for me it felt a bit bizarre to start with. You know, it's a position I think I'd last played when I was in the under 10s or something like that. You know, but in that close season, Jim referred me to a sports nutritionist. And speaking to her, we identified quite quickly that I think what I was actually doing was burning myself out. I was trying to do a lot of fitness work to get back to fitness, but I wasn't fueling my body to justify all the exercise I was doing. So I was in this vicious cycle of just burning myself out and not actually getting that much fitter. So I made a few changes and just never looked back. You know, it was just like in a few weeks, it was like night and day. I suddenly felt like, you know, my legs were back. I suddenly had strength and you know, speed and power in my legs again, and my fitness increased. And of course, with that, your confidence comes quite quickly. And even when I was learning the new position, playing right back, I had that confidence that I was as fast or faster than the winger I was playing against. And if he wants to run at me all day, I'll run with him all day. You know, so it was probably just what I needed. You know, at that stage of my career, new position, new challenge, new manager, new everything, really. And you know, I think in the end, I managed to do a reasonable job of it, playing right back, and actually, it probably ended up being right wing back. The more fitness I regained, and the more confidence, the more I remember Jim just saying to me, "Push up, push up. Don't worry about him. Let him worry about you. Push." And you know, I'd be looking at him thinking, "Hold on a minute. I'm supposed to be the right back here. I'm supposed to be defending." And it was incredible. He, you know, how much faith he had in you. He would just say, no, up, up, you know. And so at times I was playing like a right winger again, you know. And probably my most enjoyable seasons with Peterhead, playing in that position. And you know, I didn't get as many goals when you're playing in that position, but an incredible amount of satisfaction playing in that role for those seasons.
You go on to win the championship in 13-14. You also get your 300th appearance against Montrose, of all people.
Was it Montrose? Oh, that's right. That was a great achievement. Probably at that point, I was, you know, I was still young enough. I was probably still looking and thinking, yes, 300, great, but bring on 400, bring on 500. You know, and I would have really been thinking, how many appearances can I make for Peterhead? And that still annoys me a little bit, because I don't know if anyone's overtaken him, but it was Martin Babbage who had the most, 350 or something. And I know I was quite close in the end, and it still annoys me. I wish I had more than Bab. So maybe I'm still young enough.
Because he'd left the season before, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he'd left. Yeah, he'd left the season before. I think he was 350-odd games as well. So I don't know what I finished on exactly. I think maybe 330-something. Certainly thought less than I thought I would have. You know, at that point, I really thought I would be achieving the other major milestone of 400-plus. Strange it was against Montrose, you know, after all those years and all those appearances for Peterhead.
You also get a testimonial as well, which doesn't happen very often these days, but I think it was a year after Bath had gotten his, you were getting one as well, so against Fraserburgh.
Mm-hmm. That was a really nice achievement and a really nice reward from the club, everyone involved in the club, you know, the recognition. It was quite an easy choice for me, you know, which team would I pick? And, you know, people say, oh, you try and get one of the old firm, or, you know, what about Aberdeen? I played Aberdeen countless times in pre-season friendlies and things. So, you know, the novelty had kind of worn off for me with that. And bizarrely, almost in a way, the novelty of playing Rangers had sort of worn off, because we'd played them quite a lot recently. And you know, I just kind of thought a game like that just to me wouldn't feel as big, you know, as the games we'd had against Rangers in the Scottish Cup at Ibrox all those years ago, and then in the league. And so for me, it was quite an obvious team. Fraserburgh, the old local rivals. I say my dad used to play for them. I bizarrely used to go and watch them sometimes when I was younger. I know the rivalry between the two teams, and the, you know, kind of friendly rivalry between the two towns. And so I thought it will mean more to me. It'll mean more to my family, and probably mean more to people at the club as well. You know, I was thinking of the people at the club, what would they like to see, you know, and I thought, so yeah, a Fraserburgh Peterhead derby is always a good one, even though they're not always that friendly. I think there was one pre-season, must be a pre-season game, I'm sure, I think I went off within half an hour. I think Bav was off and Craig Gunn or something. There was three of us off within half an hour, all with injuries, in a pre-season friendly against Fraserburgh. So I think that was in the, that would mean Neil Cooper. I remember him going ballistic. So I thought, you know, that that could make it a, an entertaining game at least. Yeah.
So at what point were you know, thoughts of leaving and taking up an opportunity to for work to go abroad?
It was early-ish that season, and I wasn't even really looking for it as such. You know, I was enjoying football more than I'd ever done in my life, probably. Just had the fantastic season of winning the league the year before. I was in terrific form. Really enjoyed everyone in the dressing room. Great team spirit, like playing for Jim. You know, everyone involved in the club. You know, it was just a really, really enjoyable time playing football, and an opportunity sort of came along to me, and I said no at first. You know, I thought I'm not ready to give up my football, and you know, I was only 30. I knew I'd have to, you know, focus on my full time career. At some point, but I thought, okay, it doesn't have to be now. No, I'm enjoying things too much. And then a few weeks later, you know, they sort of came back and had further discussions, and I, you know, incredibly difficult decision to make. But at the time, you know, I just thought, okay, here's an opportunity to move to Athens in Greece, you know, lovely part of the world to go and work and live. Just a really good opportunity. I had always fancied going abroad or moving somewhere different with work. I wouldn't say I had, you know, concrete opportunities, but there, you know, sometimes been opportunities to work somewhere away from, you know, the local area. And I'd never really shown much interest because even though football was my part-time job, in many ways, it was my, you know, my priority, my full-time job in a way, you know. Even earlier in my career when I was travelling with work, you know, I had some very understanding bosses. I'd be away on a work trip and I would say, is there any chance I can fly home on the Thursday instead of the Friday because I'd like to go to my football training? You know, and most of the time my bosses were incredibly understanding. And say, yeah, we can deal without you, do it without you on the Friday. So yeah, you can fly home on Thursday. You know, that type of thing. So I was probably incredibly fortunate for many years that I had that kind of flexibility. And yes, it was not something I'd planned at all. It was not something I was looking for. It was something that just came along. Like I say, I tried to resist it and prioritise the football still, and then when they came back and said, well, you know, what about this, what about that, and I thought, okay, as much as my loyalty is with, you know, with Peterhead and with Jim and everyone, I thought maybe I have to think longer term, you know, what do I want to do in life, what do I want to achieve. So I made the incredibly difficult decision to give up my football and try the adventure abroad. Probably in the back of my mind, I genuinely still thought I'll be back in 2 or 3 years and I could come back and play for Peterhead. You know, I probably thought at the time, this is not me moving away for, what's that coming up to, 7 years, almost, seven years. I probably thought I'd be back and I probably thought I'd still be young enough and I could maybe come back and beat Bav's appearance record at Peterhead, you know. I think Roger Morrison had the same idea because I do remember Jim telling me, okay, you're released, but Roger's retaining you, retaining your registration with the SFA or something. Either in the, I don't know, the with me potentially returning, or him maybe thinking, well, if he's a bit older, then we could maybe still sell him to a club in the lower leagues and get some money. And that's kind of Roger's way of thinking. So I'm not sure if I'm still registered or not, but there was a time a few years ago where I was almost moving back, actually. I did think, well, you know, would I give Jim a phone and say, let's, you know, can I come back and start training and let's see how it goes? But I think the sad reality now is, you know, I'll be 37 in the summer. You know, I think probably my playing days are gone. I do think, well, what, I look at, I obviously followed the team still, and the team went on to have further success. I do sometimes think, well, what would have been? But at the same time, I've had some fantastic experiences living abroad. I've said in four different countries. Sounds like a lot in a short space of time, but it's just, you know, it's been fantastic. When I was working offshore in Qatar, and actually met a diehard Peterhead fan on the platform offshore in Qatar, you know, and had these sort of bizarre conversations about Peterhead in the middle of an offshore platform just off the coast of Qatar. So there's things like that. It's quite nice. It's still something that's, kind of eats away at me a little bit sometimes. And when I go back normally, you know, in normal circumstances, when we can jump on a plane or a train and travel back, you know, but normally I always come back at Christmas and I come and see at least one game at Christmas. And there's so many familiar faces still involved with the club, which makes it incredibly nice, and they're all incredibly welcoming. And so that's really nice, but it also makes me a little bit sad at the same time, because I think I could have been involved with this for, you know, a little bit longer. But I did always say, I always said when I was at Peterhead, I said to my friends and family, when I stopped playing for Peterhead, I stopped playing football. You know, I really didn't see myself going back to Montrose or going to Highland League team or even playing junior football. It was, I'll play as long as I can at Peterhead, and when Peterhead say they don't want me or if I've had enough, then that's when I call it a day, you know. So in a way, that I quite like the fact that's the way it ended, you know. And ended with incredibly fond memories in the last few seasons, you know. So
it's a career that, especially at Peterhead, that you'll long be remembered for, with us Peterhead fans, and so your name still gets banded about, in particular the solo goals against Morton and Stirling are still well talked about. So you're well remembered for, and you probably will be in years to come.
Yeah, I remember the Stirling goal quite clearly. And that's the thing that annoys me. The cameraman was on holiday that week, so I think almost every other game that season was filmed. And I think that was the only time the cameraman was on holiday that season. So that annoys me. But the good thing about that is I can make it sound even better when I tell people stories about it.
it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. Absolutely thrilled that you've taken the time to speak to us. As I said, you're one of the legendary names for Peterhead in the last 20 years that have been in the Football League, so I'm thrilled that you've taken the time to speak to us.
Yeah, no problem at all. I've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed bringing back the memories to me. Hopefully I'll see you back at Balmore sometime in the near future.
Fingers crossed. I hope so,
Hopefully next season there'll be some fans allowed back in. I'm sure it's needed for Peterhead and many other clubs in Scotland. It's a club that, you know, will forever be close to my heart.
So thanks again, Graham. Cheers.
Thanks very much. Take care.
Cheers.
That was the second part of our interview with Graham Sharp, and we'd like to thank Graham for speaking with us about his career. That was also the final of our Blue Toon Legends series, and we'd like to take the opportunity to thank Martin Bavage, Davy Nicholls, Paul Mathers, Andy Rogers and Graham Sharp for being part of this series of interviews. I'm Colin Byers, and on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, we hope you enjoyed these interviews. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon.